I'm Kiana, and I leveled up my business with Shopify. Once I figured out that Shopify was a thing, I never turned back. I can create a site with my eyes closed. Shopify thinks ahead of us, you know, and it thinks about the customer more than anything. Every day I'm thinking about some other new business, but Shopify is doing it to me because it's so easy to use. It's like I can't stop. I'm addicted.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Welcome to You Had Me At Podcast, where we fall in love with romantic comedies all over again, one decade at a time. I'm Jess Sterling, and of course, I'm joined by my co-host, who has an unlimited supply of dinosaur t-shirts, Stuart! Stuart, how are you?
I wish! Yeah. Oh, if I knew my wardrobe was adventurous enough to extend beyond black t-shirts, maybe I might have some dinosaur t-shirts. Who knows?
That's so true, though. Like, I'm picturing your closet to be like almost like a cartoon character's, where it's like the same outfit over and over and over again, but it's just black and gray hoodies and t-shirts.
You're not wrong.
So sad. I say wearing a black hoodie, but it has color here and on the back. So, you know, if you're on YouTube.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No,
of course not. Why would you? Yeah. Today, we're talking about the 2025 rom-com holiday extravaganza, MERV, which we both watched for the first time this week.
Wow. It's good to say that my life was better before this film. Who knew that after, 2016, the world could get even worse? This film came along and was like, yeah, it can get worse.
It can get worse, yeah. Here's the thing. When you look at it on its surface, okay, let me point out some facts about this film. Number one, Zooey Deschanel, Charlie Cox are starring in it. Okay, thumbs up, right?
Big names.
Yeah. Number two, dog-centered. Big thumbs up. Number three, dog doesn't die. More thumbs up.
Bigger thumbs up.
Number four, holiday themed. Love that. Okay, well, some of us aren't Scrooges and we enjoy the holidays, so thumbs up. Dinosaurs everywhere in this movie. Like, literally dinosaurs everywhere. Like, every time there was a dinosaur, you best believe I was doing the, like, Leonardo DiCaprio, like, dinosaur every time. Okay, so thumbs up to that.
That's ridiculous. I literally made a note. I was like, dinosaur mentioned. Jeff's, it's going to be absolutely insufferable.
What? Yeah. Love dinosaurs. I love dinosaurs so much. And the fact that the main character also loved dinosaurs, I was like, perfect. I love this for me. Also, there
is
was
anything he doesn't love? He was just the most happy guy in the world.
I mean, he was kind of depressed.
Despite being depressed. But like, depressed, he was too enthusiastic. Like, so much
energy.
I've
gotten that criticism like, before.
Fuck off. No. If you're depressed, go lay down and be sad. Go away.
Yeah. And then, and the other thing that had this movie had going for it is that we had another dog character that was very cute that got along with Merv and was like his girlfriend of sorts, named Lolly. And I loved that because my, like, one of my all-time top-tier D&D characters I played was named Lolly. So on its surface, I should love this movie. I should be coming into this podcast being like, I'm so happy I picked this movie. It was so good. And the problem is, it wasn't. The problem is, it wasn't good. And we're going to talk it through because I know you feel very similarly. We're going to talk through why this film simply did not work. But my number one critique is, if you're going to be a dog movie, if you're going to be a dog holiday film where the dog is literally the name of the movie and like he's a big star of the film, hey, maybe don't be bad dog owners. Don't be bad pet parents. These people are fucking horrible pet parents. Like horrible, horrible pet parents. And we'll get into why. But I was aghast many times this movie. As someone who has dogs, it's terrible.
Fair play. I mean, yeah, some abhorrent behavior, like from the pair of them. So unrootable for the way in which they just could be better dog parents to poor little Merv. Like, if anything, this story shouldn't be a romance. It shouldn't be a rekindling of their love. It should be like whatever the American version of the RSPCA is, just kicking down the doors and saying, we're taking this dog to a better home.
I think the story should have been more like Lady and the Tramp, where we get to watch Merv fall in love.
Oh, that would be actually really nice.
Girl, I know. But,
romances. Like Lady and the Tramp. Like, and then what else is there? There's no other dog romances.
101 Dalmatians, Pongo and Perdita.
Wow, well remembered on Perdita. Everyone remembers Pongo.
Pongo and Perdita. Pongo. I used to love 101 Dalmatians. I watched that movie nonstop. And my favorite was Rolly, the chubby one, was always like watching the something munchies get to eat. It was like that little commercial for dog treats. And he would just turn on and be like, Mama, I'm hungry. And she's like, but you just ate Rolly. Every time. So cute. I love the chubby dog.
I love that you're doing the spiritual woman's voice for Merv. He's just Victorian street urchin.
Yes, he's a Victorian street urchin. Oh my God. So we're going to talk through why this movie didn't work for us, but I'm going to give you a little recap at the top in case you didn't watch this movie. First of all, don't save yourself the hour well done. 40 whatever minute.
And just hour and 45 minutes. Too long. What the hell?
We need to have a come to Jesus about the length of a Christmas rom-com and why it should be no longer than an hour 20.
Yeah. If you are Scorsese, if you are like a high tier director going for like big artsy themes, fine. Go over 2 hours. Hell, go over 3 hours in some instances. But for a holiday romance film, if you're going over an hour and 20, something is wrong. Someone needs to look at that script and cut. Just tear out a third.
Snip, snip. Goodbye.
Exactly.
We could have gotten rid of a lot of scenes. We'll talk about it.
Kill your darlings.
So to recap, Russ, who's a little kid teacher, and Anna, an optometrist. Yeah, eye doctor.
She got there in the end.
She has eyes. Share custody of their adorable dog, Merv, since breaking up 6 months ago. As a result of their separation, Merv is diagnosed with depression. How we arrived at this diagnosis, also, we're getting into it. I can't, I can't deter. I got to keep track. To make him feel better, Russ decides to take him to Florida to escape the cold weather of Boston and go on a dog beach by way of a plane, which we'll also talk about because large dogs can't just get on a plane like any other dog. Okay, anyway, Anna, the psychopath that she is, follows them to Florida. With his owners reunited, Merv's mood improves and slowly but surely they start to reconcile. Turns out the reason for their breakup wasn't a cute little rom-commy thing. It was the fact that Anna can't have children. She's infertile. And she was the one to end things with Russ after he proposed. Okay. While on the trip, Russ and Merv start getting flirty with the local party planner, Jocelyn, and her adorable dog, Lolly, which, of course, bothers Anna. After the trip is over, Russ decides he will never get over Anna if he has to see her every week because of their custody agreement. So he gives Merv to Anna.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
He gets glasses, slutty little glasses, as Stuart.
The one redeeming part of this film, I will say.
Why did he not have glasses from the beginning? What are 100%. We actually doing?
Why
here?
Not
Charlie
have
Cox's
it? Why not?
Face should permanently have glasses affixed to them.
I need to not get into this now. We will get into it.
I have so many gripes. He adopts a new dog named Angelina, which, like, truly, who names the dog? Angelina.
The worst dog name ever.
What are we doing?
I'm really big into like dog names, like human dog names, like particularly old man names Winston? For dogs. Yes. Yeah, like it works perfectly. Angelina just does not work.
What are we doing? Angelina all. Is like almost like a Karen sort of a name. Like it's like Angelina's gonna complain to the manager, you know?
And they have like, your jacket. Like
what are we doing? Anyway, the couple reunites on Christmas Day when Russ decides, after having Angelina for like a day, to let her off leash. Sir. Anyway, they get back together. And then in the credits, it seems like they get engaged. I don't know if it's the following Christmas. I assume because Angelina's wearing her own custom sweater that this is the following Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, truly, I couldn't care less. So that is the movie. Oh,
I think you summed it up immediately. We can actually close this podcast straight away. I couldn't care less.
They don't have good chemistry. That's my to start off. There is some Charlie Cox on their own, like Charlie Cox, adorable, right? Like just so good looking, like immediately rootable. Zooey Deschanel, your mileage may vary. If you're a new girl kind of person, you probably love her. I get a little bit tired of her like quirky shtick fairly quickly.
Yeah.
I'm just a quirky girl with bangs. It's like, okay, girl, just because you have bangs doesn't mean you're quirky, but sure.
It's very early YouTube. I've got a ukulele there for a personality. Like, no. Fuck off. Like, bring something else to the table here. Like, come on.
And the problem is they don't have any chemistry together at all.
Not at all. Like, this was 100% casted on name only. There was no... And people, like, mock the whole chemistry test. But I think it's necessary for a fucking rom-com because you've got to make sure that these people are believable as a couple. And I think looks-wise, they certainly are. I mean, like, they're both kind of, like, bang in the same field, I'd say. But there's just something about the way in which they talk to each other that's just so... Oh, I'm reading this off of a script. Like... It was really just so unnatural.
Yeah.
And it didn't work at all. And I like, I can imagine them being so excited when they got like Charlie Cox and Zooey Deschanel to go on because it's like, oh, amazing. I think I would have preferred to have like nobody, no name characters, or even like dig out the ones from like the Hallmark films, like throw in those. And I think this film would be.
Yeah, where the hell's
much more redeemable?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
yeah, that's a big gripe I have. And on top of that, you could listen. I'm not trying to like pigeonhole people. There are people in the world who are like dog and cat people, and just animal people. They love all animals, any shape, size, breed, anything, species, whatever. And then you have your dog people and you have your cat people. And those are the people who are like, I've only ever had dogs. I love dogs. Can't really. Cats are weird. They're aloof. They scare me. That's kind of me. I like certain cats, but I'm more particular with cats than I am with dogs. I haven't met a dog I don't like. And then there are cat people who are like, dogs are big and scary and loud and whatever. And I'm sorry, but how are you going to hire Zooey Deschanel, a very obvious cat person, for a dog person role? She looks so uncomfortable with Merv. She did not look like she liked Merv. And that's a problem when the name of the movie is freaking Merv.
This is the thing as well. Like, you think, I want there to be a chemistry test between those two. I want there to be a chemistry test with the fucking dog.
Yeah.
Like, Merv was carrying this film.
Merv, his back was tired from carrying this film, because he really was. He was so cute. His puppy eye acting, off the charts adorable. Him and his little booties and his little jacket, so cute. But like, the fact that these two, I mean, I'll give Charlie Cox a bit more credit. I thought he like seemed to be connecting with Merv quite well. Mostly Zooey Deschanel that I was like, I don't see it. I can't believe that she actually enjoys being around Merv. And not only that, but on top of that fact, the character of Anna is the worst. Like, she's not likable. Like, what about her is actually likable? Not much. Like, first of all, whatever that goo is that she's feeding Merv is a really unnatural shade of blue. Like, if you were putting blueberries in something to give to your dog, I'd understand antioxidants, you know, whatever, whatever. That was not the shade of a blueberry. That was like the shade of like blue raspberry Kool-Aid. Like, what are you feeding this dog, you know?
Something nuclear or like radioactive at the very least. Like, yeah, okay, it might start activating like something inside. Yeah, because it's going to be like poisoning you from the inside. No wonder Merv was avoiding it. No wonder Angelina ended up liking it as well, because that dog like had some weird ass eyes. And so I think there's something kind of wrong about that dog.
It was a Boston Terrier in Boston.
No, but they were much more bulbous than
they
I
were
think
really.
Usual.
They kind of like, it was like a deer like looking in different directions. Yeah, so that was really weird. And the fact that she followed them to Florida was also just like such an unhinged thing to do. Like, you can't just show up on your ex-boyfriend's vacation. Like, I'm sorry. You can't do that. It's weird. It's not cool. It's not cool at all.
I kind of feel like the way in which the whole film is structured is that obviously we're seeing most of it from Russ's perspective. Like, we are like with him most of the time. We're seeing everything through that perspective. And so initially, Anna is a very kind of like unreadable character because, well, she's the other one, like, kind of thing. Like, you're in camp or perspective of Russ, therefore they've split up and therefore you're on his side in the whole thing, which kind of gives that distance almost immediately. Then we find that when they're doing the custody drop-offs, he's literally just dropping the dog off and not actually seeing her. And they have a very kind of like frosty atmosphere that way. You're like, oh shit, what the hell went down here? And then, and he's like there MacGyvering the whole like little booty situation. And then she criticizes it. And it's like, I mean, I don't think she's wrong actually to criticize it because it was a really MacGyvery situation.
How could you find anything in his disgusting apartment?
Yeah, well, that's the thing as well.
That was a travesty. Like, first of all, how Merv didn't have to have some kind of emergency surgery for eating some rando crap he left laying around is beyond me. Because that apartment was abysmal.
Maybe that's actually what it was. Maybe it wasn't that Merv was depressed. Maybe Merv was just sick from being in an awful situation, was taken out of that environment, got well, and then he cleaned up his stuff and then everything was happy as ever after.
Here's the thing. This is my other, like, I have so many gripes with this movie, but like, as someone who has gone through some stuff in terms of pet ownership, it is so actually unbelievable that you would bring a dog who is lethargic and like seems unwell, bring them to the vet. The vet to be like, well, his heart seems normal. And like, I don't even know if they ran blood work, but like, they're just like, well, he's pooping, he's peeing, he's eating. It must be depression. It's like, ma'am, do more tests. Are you serious? Like, do an x-ray, do anything else, do a blood workup. Like, how are you going to tell me that this dog just has depression? Like, what are you actually talking about, lady? Like, it was unbelievable to me. Like, that is just so nonsensical. If a dog, to me, that is the worst. If I'm a pet parent, I am a pet parent. If I was them, I'm like, no, you have to run more tests because it's not normal that he's acting this way. Like, what do you mean? I know this is like very cutesy, right? Like, it's a cutesy movie, but I feel like this movie didn't do cutesy right either, right? Because I feel like we need to pick a lane, Stuart, right? Like, we need to either choose ridiculous concept and just full on, we're going full on in the ridiculous concept of our dog is depressed because we broke up. Versus,
the cross arm, like, and look like as if he's really putting on the sadness kind of thing, as if it is this like almost like manipulative little kid, like trying to parent trap them.
He's parent trapping
like,
them.
Oh, yes. Like gaslighting the shit out
have
of them.
Have him parent in hopes trap. That they
can, yeah, but like having the dog actually be depressed is really not.
No, especially compelling. Because the movie then also like doubles down, and instead of making it cutesy and like fun and silly, it's like, actually, no, the reason they broke up is a very serious, depressing, sad thing of Anna can't have kids. And they don't ever fix that. They don't ever discuss it. There's no conversation between Anna and Russ of like, here's what our plan is moving forward. Like, Anna really wants kids. But they never address any of it. And it's like, you can't have it both ways. You can't have like this cutesy fun film, but like have this really sad, heartbreaking reason they break up and then not fix that. Again, I'm not looking to have Anna suddenly be fertile myrtle and like birthing out 10 kids. But like, I would appreciate if they at least had the discussion of like, well, what do we want to do? Do we want to adopt? Are we okay without having kids? Like, do we want a surrogate? Like, where is that conversation? It doesn't exist.
Or even just the more reassuring conversation between the two of them of like, this wasn't an issue to do with like someone's physiology and like the whole relationship. It was communication. It was him saying, yes, maybe I might have wanted them, but I love you more than that. And therefore, I would love to stay with you. Or like, you shouldn't feel that burden. This is not like something that needs to be kind of like blamed upon someone. There's no blame to apportion for something that is completely out of someone's control. Like, it's wild. And like, why she didn't feel comfortable in talking to him about that. There's a fundamental issue of like breakdown of their relationship that is just not addressed because he's like, oh, I miss you. And I don't, oh, I kind of, I miss you being around. Okay, I'd like to be with you. Oh, I got another dog because I feel sad. Like, it's just so irresponsible across the board between the two of them.
And it's all bad.
In some aspects, it was kind of good because I liked some of the things that they did bring up. I did like the whole thing of Anna and Russ's mum reconnecting, being like, I miss you, because there is that kind of instance in like relationships that break down is that you kind of do lose the connections that come out from those.
Yeah.
And sometimes like you hear those funny stories of like in-laws still being in touch with like someone's ex like years down the line because they become friends. And I kind of I always like those like weird relationships like that. And I kind of liked them for having the bravery to talk about that. But again, it was like cramming in another quite serious issue into what is meant to be a whimsical film about a dog having the sads. So
it's
again,
like they had,
where's the charm?
Too many ideas and then the movie was way too long, but also they were like trying to cram more into it. Cause I agree, and in theory, I like that as a storyline, but it felt like we went from like, I hate you while we're cutting the limes to like instantly, I miss you so much. Like the next scene. And I'm like, this was not earned at all. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, what are we doing?
I think that's why they're trying to like inject whimsy into it. It's like, I'm very like, I'm acting. I hate you so much. Oh, actually, no, it's because I'm being horrible to you because I actually miss you and I'm really hurt. Yeah. And it's like in that kind of like whimsical way of just like things flipping immediately because of like that sudden, not realization, but like, I think revelation. And it just doesn't work. At all. It's just so not believable, for one thing. And it's so unearned because it is trying to be serious and funny in the same breath. This is two different films that have been crammed together.
Yeah.
Both in the runtime and the script. Like, it's just...
It was really all over the place, and it just didn't work. And again, like, I feel like there are certain things that I'm like, I can't help but be annoyed by because... The movie almost wants me to take it seriously while also then having like 25% whimsy. So it doesn't work at all. Like, there are so many moments in this movie where I was like, these two are actually terrible pet owners and like shouldn't be allowed to have a dog. Like, number one, I need to bring up the fact that Russ takes Merv on a plane to Florida, and Merv is not a small dog. Okay, like if you had like a Chihuahua and you wanted to bring it on a plane, you could probably put it in a pet carrier and put it underneath your seat and you're all good to go. If you're bringing a bigger dog like Merv on a freaking plane, they're going in like with the luggage, which isn't heated, is terrifying for any dog. And I would never, like, the only time I think, and this is my opinion, you should ever put a dog in that situation is if you have no other choice. If you're moving across the literal sea. Otherwise, if I was moving from like New York to California, you bet your ass I'd be driving, because I would never be putting my dog, because there's not enough control over that environment. It is so dangerous. There have been so many instances of like being harmed in that situation. So to go to Florida.
Yeah, even just their, like, the stress of the whole situation. They're like, I'm suddenly in a dark metal tube, freezing cold. Like, the hearts go, like, through the roof. Like, if you think a dog having bad heart problems because of being sad is a bad thing, putting on a fucking plane can't be any better for them. Like,
so that was horrible. Outrageous. It's so dangerous. That was, like, the first thing that I was like, whoa, what are we doing here? When Russ brings Merv to this like pet beach thing, like, yeah, I can quibble with like, okay, we probably should have some sort of like leash introduction situation, but whatever. Later in the movie, he full on loses Merv. He full on loses his dog. He falls asleep on a beach chair while he has his dog loose. Sir, it's a dog. Like, I don't care how much you trust your dogs. You gotta be awake and coherent. It's like a small child. And you're on a beach near the ocean. Like, what are we doing? You could swim away forever. Goodbye, Merv.
Also, I could be misremembering because I did kind of start checking out around that time. But didn't he just, like, get drunk and fall asleep from, like, a double whiskey? Like,
Yeah.
I'm like, you're meant to be a Londoner, mate. Like, you should be able to handle your drink a little better than...
No.
I'm like,
no.
What's going on?
He's horrible.
No, it's just terrible. Like, why do they make these choices? Like, I feel like this was written by someone that goes, dog films do really well, but they've never owned a dog themselves. And so this whole, like, instance of dog ownership is a very kind of, like, other thing that they don't fully understand. Like, in the whole instance of having a dog getaway holiday, do these things exist?
Oh, definitely. Like, that definitely exists.
No.
Like, we went to, when I visited San Diego, I didn't have my dog with me, granted, but we visited San Diego and this is going to sound actually kind of crazy. When we were at San Diego, we knew there was a dog beach. And so we specifically went to the dog beach because we wanted to watch dogs play in the sand, even though I didn't have a dog with me. So like these sorts of places exist that certainly cater to people who own dogs. Now, whether or not like the people that are going there are responsible dog owners is always a question in my mind, because like, yes, in a perfect world, the idea of like a dog park, a dog beach are all great in concept. But the fact that you have people who like maybe their dogs are more reactive and like not necessarily loving and accepting of all other dogs is like you're always running that risk, you know? So like certainly these things exist. But this is more of like an oasis version of like the real thing. Like, let's keep in mind, if I'm Russ and I'm going to a dog beach, I'm not stepping foot in that water because you know dogs are just doo-dooing all over the place there. Like, that's happening. Like, what a psychopath who's actually going in the water there, you know?
I hate to break it to you, Jess, but fish are pissing in that thing all the time.
Yeah, but at least it's like not right there, you know? Like, right there. So yeah, no, they're terrible pet parents. As we were watching and Russ is like deciding, oh, it's too hard to see you every week. You should just keep Merv. I turned to my husband and I said, there is 0% chance I would ever do this, by the way. Like, I would never be like, you have custody. Sure. No, that is my child. What are you talking about? I birthed that baby. Like, I will not be giving him up. Like, are you fucking serious? Like, would never happen. And then to just attempt to replace him instantly, and not that's just replace horrendous. Him instantly, Stuart, but to be like, oh, and here's your bed that was actually Merv's, and here's this chewed up toy that was Merv's.
Like, yeah, why don't you like all this stuff? Because it smells of your former lover, mate. Like
it's so upsetting.
It's outrageous that he thinks that this is like another dog is like a band-aid to fix his broken heart, and it's not. And this is the other thing that really annoys the hell out of me. It's just the idea that a dog is a thing that you can just buy. It's not a responsibility, something you have to think about. And like the shelter is part to blame for this as well, because they shouldn't be like just on a whim, just giving over dogs and stuff. Like, yeah, okay, dogs desperately, shelter dogs particularly, like need good homes. Maybe do some due diligence on this guy. Maybe go and inspect his freaking apartment and see that it's an absolute shithole and he can't like look after himself, let alone another creature.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on here? Like, I'm not sure if it's the same in America and this is just a thing that the film is like glossing over, but like over here in like Battersea Dog's Home in London and stuff, in order to get a dog on my level, you have to go through like an interview process where they do check where you live and that you
good
do
rescues,
have the appropriate.
Yeah, good rescues would require that. Now, keeping in mind that the rescue that Russ went to, he had already gotten, that's where they got Merv originally.
Oh, fair.
So
yeah.
Like maybe they're waiving some of the like background prerequisite stuff. But still, like he takes home Angelina, and then like I said, like the fact that he barely knows this dog, like you just got this dog. Like there is so much that goes into training a dog to be off leash. Like number one, you're like in public, you probably shouldn't have your dog off leash, not necessarily because you can't trust your dog, but because you don't know about other people's dogs. Like that's the number one reason I wouldn't let my dog off leash. Like, so to let her off leash when you've just met this dog, you just got this dog and you like don't know what her recall skills are. Again, like I probably am thinking way too much about this, but as someone who has dogs and like takes dog ownership extremely seriously, it is crazy that he immediately lets her off leash. Like, I understand it's for the bit of like, mm-hmm. oh, they run. Yeah. You could have just run into them. They could have both been on leash and just seen each other. Like, we could have done that, actually. You know,
but you got the extendable leashes that like go out for like what feels like miles and stuff like that. Like, put them on those. Like, at least allude to the idea that these are good dog owners, not just do irresponsible things. And again, this is another reason why I think that this wasn't written by a dog owner. I think this was written, or at least was written by someone who maybe has dogs, but doesn't care for the dogs themselves. Maybe they outsource it.
They're a person that just follows dogs on Instagram because we have the like Mervinator thing. Like, it felt like, oh,
maybe, yeah.
It's someone who like follows that, like the bones are no
Doug
bones
the pug.
Dog, and yeah, Doug the pug and stuff like that. Yeah. I don't know. It just really, again, like I get very prickly and like in the weeds on dog stuff because I do care like so much about how dogs are taken care of. And like, good God, this was just so awful. So that just like really got under my skin in a way that I was like, what? You can't just, the idea that you could just replace a dog like that was like actually really painful and like, nah, okay. Like, you can't do that. Poor Angelina didn't ask for this, you know, like she wants a good loving home too. Like, you're just trying to replace Merv with her and that's not okay. Like, what are you doing though?
Oh, so sad. So sad. I mean, of course we are like taking it maybe a bit more seriously than I think they intended it to be.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're already, I mean, no pun intended, we're dogpiling on it already. So let's
that movie.
Continue.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you know what? There are a couple terrible. Good things to come out of this movie.
Okay.
Number
I've
one.
Got a couple of things that made me laugh, but yeah.
Okay. Number one, Charlie Cox's slutty little glasses. Like, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Redeeming feature. Now, we said that we were going to get into that a bit. So she is eye doctor, optometrist, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Put him in glasses at the beginning. Have him in slutty glasses so we can enjoy that for the remainder of the film.
Yes, please.
Have it be that they met when he first went to her, got the prescription, and has never allowed her to update the prescription. And she's like, no, you would have got worse. I'm telling you, your prescription's got worse. Whatever like that. So we can enjoy the glasses that way.
Yes, please.
Fixed. Done.
There you go.
Why not?
Take notes, writers.
Why make us suffer?
I suffered. I suffered by not seeing Charlie Cox in glasses the whole time. I feel like I'm in pain. Number two, also related to Charlie Cox. Apparently, so the dog who plays Merv is actually named Gus in real life. And Charlie
so
Cox.
So is my mom's dog.
I know, it's so cute. Charlie Cox didn't have any pets like before making this movie, but he enjoyed working with Gus so much that he adopted a border terrier after the movie was done, which I was like, okay, that's cute. Like, he was like, I love dogs so much now that, what are you making a face? Why are you making a face? It's great news.
I'm conflicted. I'm like, yeah, it's a really cute story and stuff. I just hope it was like not, you know, on a whim, like this
rich.
Film was.
He has people.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, he'll probably.
Who cares?
That dog will probably have a better life than I will.
Exactly. So, yeah, I thought that was good news. But yes, tell me about your moments that you laughed out loud.
So I made a couple of notes of things that I thought were, like, a couple of things that made me laugh. Firstly, the MGM titles being replaced with a dog. Oh, chef's kiss.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I love little tweaks like that for the opening, like, production credits and stuff like that. The thing that made me cackle though was when they were dancing and then Bumbaleo comes on and then Zooey Deschanel says, oh, this song, and I'm like, they had no idea what song that was going to be until like they'd done post and stuff like that. So it was just such a generic filler thing that I was just laughing to myself because it was just so abundantly obvious that they had no idea what music they were dancing to in the slightest.
Yeah.
And also, are those baguettes? Yes, I've buttered your bread. Fucking killer line from the friend.
That
I was like,
great.
That's the petty kind of like in joke with a friend that I love. I was like,
yeah,
she can stick around.
Yeah, I because the friend stuff didn't work for me for 90% of the time they were around because it just felt unearned and like, okay, this is the filler friend who's like supposed to be helping. But the when her going on the date with the man who literally butters her bread, I was like, that is psychopathic. Can do. Like, I would leave. I would leave then and there. Like, if some guy who told me, like, just handed my, like, don't get your nasty, grubby hands on my bread. Like, what are you doing? Also, very funnily enough, Anna in the film has a question that she asks all first dates, which is, if your home were to burst into flames and you had already secured your loved ones and your pets, what would you grab in the fire? And in my head, immediately, I was like, oh, my fire safe. Like, I have all my important documents in there. And then he said that. And I was like, I don't understand why this is a bad answer. Like, all my most important keepsake things are in the fire safe. So it makes sense to grab that.
She's looking for an emotional answer. Like, she's looking for you to have, like, some sentimentality to, well, to something.
I don't That's have any sentimentality.
I'm gasping, though, because I'm like, you have physical documents. I'm like, digitize that shit. Like, that's why my answer was, like, my laptop. Or,
like, a, you know, a social security card.
You can get new ones. Like, that shit gets covered in
insurance.
I don't
want to go through that trouble. Those are that's grab. The pain. Like, I was like, I don't know why she's so upset. Like, that's exactly what I would grab. But, like, okay, like, whatever. Like, sorry, it's not a sexy answer, but, like, it's the
real sorry, it's not, sorry, it's not ukulele, you quirky, like, optometrist.
Also, the fact that this movie, because they did, like, multiple times, they showed us, like, old pictures of Russ and Anna as a couple with, like, Zooey Deschanel having her bangs, like, pinned back. And then they tried to be, like, oh, I just got bangs when she meets with his mom. I was like, fuck all the way off Zooey Deschanel. You've had bangs since literal birth. Like, stop it.
You've seen the infamous picture of her without them, right? On the red carpet. No. Everyone's like, oh my God, it's outrageous. She is a shapeshifter. It does not look like her at all. It's so wild. Like, seriously, everyone's like, oh, how comes no one knows that, like, Clark Kent is Superman? And then you look at Zooey Deschanel without bangs, you're like, that's how it's done. People without the defining feature of their face.
Well, it's because she also doesn't have glasses on. So that's
she also just has, like, I think slightly different makeup as well. It's like quite pared down and stuff.
Looks like her eyes are a little squinty. Yeah. I think she looks even more weird when she's blonde in Elf. It's like, what is happening, though? When,
yeah.
Why is she blonde? Yeah. So there was only a few moments where I laughed out loud. And I think the only thing I thought was actually very funny in the film was this shirt, which they showed on screen towards the end of the movie with the quote of, "We wish you a Mervy Christmas and a happy new year." And I have it displayed on the YouTube channel if you're watching. I thought this was great punnage. Great, great punnage.
Good punnage, certainly. I will say, like, said this pre-pod, I'm going to say it now anyway to shame her a little bit. Friend of the pod, Brenna, crafter extraordinaire. That's Brenna's feature if she goes off the deep end with the punnage and her crafting
she's
abilities.
She's lost her mind if that happens. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Draw back in. Yeah. Yeah. So that was really the only moment I really laughed out loud. I may have laughed at the sweaters, too, because of how ugly they were at the end.
Yeah.
The
I mean, the moments of, like, cringy laughter, like the dancing, like Charlie Cox danced like Stifler in American Pie. Like, it's just really awkward, but kind of, like, confidently good in that sense of, like, I feel like someone could be described as a good dancer if they dance with confidence, and he certainly danced with confidence, but I wouldn't necessarily describe it as good dancing. And then also just the excuse of saying that meningitis, like, why she was sick. I was like, hell of all things, that's just the worst. And there's like just odd choices like that I think were, like, intended to be funny, like, gags, and I was just saying, going, why? It's a weird choice. Like, what the hell? Couldn't get on with it.
Weird choices.
Very weird choices.
Okay, we did get a piece of feedback. So our friend Todd the Librarian was also watching this film and was quite disappointed with it. And he had a question. Have you ever done yoga with your dogs? And this movie is so unrealistic. Like, There was one dog, I think, in that scene with the dogs doing yoga that I was like, this is actually what a dog would do, which is like, if your face is that close to the ground, they're going to be like giving you kisses and like trying to jump on you. And like, that's mm-hmm. what my dogs would be doing. There would be no downward dog. There would be no like, oh, sit pretty. Like, no, dogs can't normally just do that.
The moment your like face goes near the floor, they're going to be like, oh, what you dropped. I want that. Like, I'll eat it. Like, get out of there. And then you're like fighting for like a bit of lint on the floor. Like, outrageous. Yeah. This must be a thing as well. Like, people doing yoga with dogs. Like, well, there must be classes for it.
And I know there's like.
What?
This is news to you? Yeah. There's goat a thing yoga. Called goat yoga where, like, the little goats, like the little ones. I guess they put goats on you or something. You're looking at. It's a thing.
Falls and goes on top of them.
Yeah.
What the hell?
I think puppy yoga is also a thing where they put puppies on you. It sounds like a very like LA New York thing to me. But
yeah, I don't know. Like, you see like cat cafes and you just like in an abundance of like little kitties and stuff, seems quite nice, and then you realize the whole place smells of cat piss. And but like, throw me into a room with a ton of like little puppies and I'd be,
that's my heaven.
Oh yeah, heaven. Have you seen the clip of Tom Holland having that where they bring him out a puppy and then they like, do you want to make it better? Two puppy, and they keep giving him what?
Yeah,
so brilliant. Yeah. That would be my reaction as well.
That's definitely heaven. But normal, you can't just bring your dog to yoga. This is not what would happen.
There's a lot more like, I think, welcoming spaces for things to do with dogs. So there's a theater chain over here called Picture House. And they do like dog showings of particular films where you can take your dogs along. And it's just, it's kind of chaotic.
Yeah.
But like the pictures of everyone in the seats and then just the dog sat next to them in the plush chairs. It's just
so cute.
Always gets me. I love it so much.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that was the movie. That was Merv. Let's talk through some of our other little moments here. We have You Had Me At, which is the most romantic moment of the movie / the best gesture. The thing is, I can't think of a single one.
Same. I'm really was struggling. There
one? Like, was there actually one? Like, there really wasn't a grand gesture. Like, okay. If I'm thinking of moments, the only ones that come to mind are like, she grabs his hand in the car, which like, wow, the bar is low.
Wow. Yeah.
And then the dancing I thought was like fun.
Yeah.
There's not any good moments. There's nothing in this movie is romantic.
There really isn't.
Can we give it to Merv and Lolly for being just like the cutest pups?
We could do. I was wondering if like we can give it to like, not necessarily a good romantic gesture, but like a good gesture. I think like, the way the mum like just leveled and was just like, I miss you, maybe that could be claimed, but again, that was really weak as well.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm giving mine to Merv and Lolly because I love when Merv did the paw. Oh, it was very cute. Lolly, it was so cute.
God, the bar is so
the
low.
Bar is in hell, okay? The bar isn't even on this fucking plane of existence anymore. And it could be because I'm crabby, because I'm ill, but also there nothing about this was romantic. Like, I'm talking about two bad pet parents who can't get their shit together, like, and they have no chemistry. No chemistry. Like, she had more chemistry with the freaking bread buttering guy. Like, stop.
She had more chemistry with the cop. I'm actually you had me at nothing. I want an answer.
Okay, there you go.
There was nothing in this film that had that gesture that was worthy of noting.
There you go. So yeah, there you go. It's not our fault. You know, the movie sucked. You know, it is what it is. Moving on to the meet cute or meet creep meter.
I'm happy. Because if I get my way here, things are going to look very even.
Yeah. So to summarize, this is our like, how do we, the red flags in the relationship. We have from top to bottom, soulmate status, which is currently occupied by the holiday, green flags galore with 10 things I hate about you. We can fix them, maybe, with bridesmaids. And I'm getting the ick with say anything. And yeah, I mean, I don't see literally any reason why these two people should be together. I think they should simply just share custody of Merv and call it a day. I think they're maybe okay. My only argument against Red Flag City is, are they just so bad that you're like, fine, just be together. You both suck anyway.
What, by virtue of being together, they're sparing two other people in the world from being subjected to them?
Yes.
Maybe. Well, maybe that is a forever.
Now Angelina's getting roped in.
Oh, maybe.
No, but I just think they're like, they don't communicate. They didn't fix the problem that like was the reason they broke up. They had like a single conversation about it. And there was no like, I love you no matter what, or like, we'll figure this out, or should we adopt, or should we just not have kids and be dinks forever? There's not any of that.
None of it. Oh, yeah. I mean, the fact that there is none of it. I mean, I'm feeling Red Flag City. I think this is beyond fixing unless you literally tear this script up into two pieces and make one that is a serious film, perhaps exploring the idea of like losing extra relationships that are built off of a relationship, and like basically not throwing away, but like losing half of your life because you invest like so much in that. I think that's a very serious possible topic to be done. And then the other one is the dog doing the parent trap, whimsy, kind of like, oh, I'm so sad, I'm gaslighting humans, like, so funny. That could be done so much better
in the movie. Yeah,
and get a script doctor in there to make it funny, because it wasn't even funny.
It wasn't romantic and it wasn't funny. Where's the rom? Yeah. Where's the calm, baby? It was nothing.
It was a rom-con.
It was a rom-con.
A rom-con.
So yeah, Red Flag City. I feel like that makes sense. I feel like it earned its freaking spot in that because it just sucked so bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was so bad. Like, it just... I can't think of a redeeming quality for these two. Like, truly, there's nothing there.
Yeah. But I guess there was a belief. Oh, no, there wasn't. Trying to justify their relationship. And I was like, because, like, I mean, I did get a bit like when she did the whole reveal of like being infertile, I was like, oh, okay, that's sad. And I was like, this is just not for this film.
No, it doesn't fit within the film. And the worst part was I knew it was coming, because the moment she shows up at her friend's house and is like so uncomfortable around the kids, I'm like, ah, she can't have kids. I thought it was either going to be miscarriage or can't have kids. Like, I knew it was going to be one to do with kids no matter what. It was too serious for this movie. If you want to do whimsy, then maybe don't dive into like fertility as like a subject.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Also, like, how can you, I mean, forgive me if I'm like gonna say something that maybe like you might fall into, but like, I would imagine if you're in a relationship and you decide to get a dog together, surely you've had the kid chat, right?
I'd like to imagine you have. The weird thing is, because these two, it seemed like they had gotten a dog together because they got Merv as like a puppy. They'd been together for a long time, but they weren't married, and it seemed like, and maybe this is not the right order of operations, but it seemed like after she found out she was infertile, he proposed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
what I'm thinking is just like, how much pressure has he put on the whole future of having kids?
I had the feeling that she put all of it on herself.
Mm.
But yeah, generally speaking, again, this is me as like a very logic person who has definitely had these conversations with anyone I've been in a relationship with. It comes up. Like, if you were thinking of being with a person long term, which it seems like they had been together long term, the subject of kids comes up because it's a huge deal breaker. Like, if one person wants and the other person doesn't want, that's kind of it, you know? Like, generally speaking, that's kind of going to be the end of things. So it's just insane to think that there was never a conversation to be had, because again, if you find out you are infertile, like, usually there's a way in which you're either getting tested for that sort of a thing, or like there's a way in which you're finding out that information, and finding out that information is going to be a bit of a long journey, and you're generally probably going to have a conversation with your partner about it. And like, what does this mean for us as a couple? Like, to think that they didn't have any of those conversations before she just called it quits on the relationship is like just insane. There's no way that would happen. And if it does, then you're a fucking horrible couple because you have terrible communication.
Exactly that. And this is why, like Red Flag City, it's completely that. It's a total breakdown of communications. Therefore, yeah, the relationship is just, it's doomed. It's doomed, I say.
Doomed. So yeah, that was bad. And I fear this next category is just going to be a real rough time for this movie. The Best in Showmans score. And this is our score for our overall enjoyment of the film. And like, you know, so far, we have pretty high scores. You're at a 7.13 average and I'm at an 8.5 average for liking the movies that we've watched. This is the first time we're watching a movie that neither one of us has seen. And so like, obviously we're picking the movie not knowing what we're getting into. I picked the movie because, hey, there's a cute dog. Both leads are like fine, you know, fine and I like. And, you know, Christmas, all of the above.
I think the trailer gave, I think, some high hopes for this as well, because the trailer didn't come across that bad. Like, I got cheesy vibes from it, but I kind of want a bit of cheese when it comes to a rom-com. Like, yes. I want that. Like, I love watching the cheesy Hallmark films and stuff. There's a reason for it. Like, they are a bit of a guilty pleasure. Like, you kind of get enjoyment from how nod, wink, wink they are to the camera of just how crap they are. This took itself too seriously for it. And that, like, totally was lost, like, on the marketing for this film completely. Yeah, so I can see this going down. I'm interested to see what your score is.
Yeah, I'll give my score first. I'm not afraid. Here's the thing. It's a really bad movie. It was a really bad movie. And, like, it had so much going for it. Like I said at the top of the podcast, like, you have dogs, you have a guy who likes dinosaurs, you have Charlie Cox, you have Zooey Deschanel, like, you have Holiday. You have like everything I should want in a movie. And the fact that it still didn't work for me is just like such a bad sign for this movie. I'm giving it a 2. And I can't even possibly go any higher than that because of how bad this movie actually was and how mad it made me at how terrible they were at being pet parents. 2 is as high as I could possibly go, Stuart.
Fantastic. I'd like to give it a 1. Incredible. Initially, I will say, I scored this on Letterboxd to talk with Grace about Letterboxd on Crying Laughing recently. I was like, I'm going to start using it again because like I haven't been logging things on there for a while. And I initially gave this 1 out of 5 stars, which would equate to a 2 on our kind of like little scale. And while talking about this film with you now, I've since taken it down to 0.5 star. It's dreadful. I can't recommend this film. I think the fact that it was, I watched 20 minutes, paused it, did a few chores, came back to it, and I was like, right, I can sit down and enjoy it. I can't have that much left, settled back in, and then was like, oh, this is kind of dragging on. It had been 45 minutes and I still had an hour left.
Yeah.
It's outrageous.
Yeah, the same thing happened to me, actually. We started this movie, I think, had like dinner. Like, we stopped down to like eat dinner and stuff in the middle of it. And I was like, oh my God, there's 40 minutes left of this. Like, how is that even possible? Like, there's so much has already, like, not so much has happened because nothing happened. But like, we've already been to the point where like they're supposed to be getting back together now. Like, how is it 40 minutes left? So it was bad. It's not a good movie. And like, 2 is being so extremely generous and probably only because of the dog, the lolly of it, and the fact that the main character likes dinosaurs. Like, he had like so many dinosaurs that like he had a dinosaur pinata, he had a dinosaur hand, he had dinosaur shirts the whole movie. Like, that's really pulling a lot of weight for this score, you know? So not our worst movie yet. And you know what? In some ways, it probably makes for a better podcast. So it is what it is. That was Merv. It's time, Stuart, for us to figure out what we're watching next.
Yeah. So we were a bit, we had decided last time as to whether or not we're going to go back to the 80s and then cycle through with a different selection order, or whether we're going to go, I can't remember what you referred to it before, but like 2020s. But yeah, we're going to go 2020s all the way back down to 80s. And we decided to go Snake Draft. And we're going to go 2020s again, we're going to stick in this realm of modern films, explore the genre a little bit better, and like the era a little bit better, and then I think go back to more familiar and welcoming territory and hopefully end on a high. Because looking at the selection of films that we had shortlisted, firstly, it's a really short list, for one thing. But I kind of also want to lean into the fact that I think we're in the golden age of really crap rom-coms. Mm-hmm. And so my choice is going to be the 2025 release, The Wrong Paris, starring Miranda Cosgrove and names I don't know. Basically,
what?
It's The Bachelor, but it's a rom-com.
Okay, I've never even heard of this movie. I just Googled it. And what is this called? The like not the DVD cover, because this is not a DVD, but you know what I mean?
The tagline?
No, like the image, like the actual,
yeah, the poster, yeah.
The poster, thank you. The poster is so bad. Like, it's so bad. It looks horrible. Miranda Cosgrove and Pearson, I don't know, whatever.
Never heard of him in my life.
The tagline, romance gets a Texas-sized reality check. And in the title, The Wrong Paris, in the center of the O, they've made the shape of Texas. They're really stretching it. Wow. Oh, okay. I'm going to guess the conceit of this movie because I've
never heard
of
this. Okay, yes, please do.
Okay, I think there is such a thing as Paris, Texas. So I'm assuming that Miranda Cosgrove like wins a trip or something. I don't know. Let's name her. What does she look like? Oh, her name. She looks like an Alyssa. Alyssa wins a trip to Paris. And so she is like very excited about going to Paris. She brings this like insane wardrobe. She has berets, you know, she's like practicing French. And then she finds out, no, I want a trip to Paris, Texas. And she ends up having to be like on a ranch. And that's where she meets, what's a good Southern name? Not Billy Bob. I don't want to be that mean to people in Texas. What did you say? Bo. That's perfect. My husband just said Bo. This is Bo.
Because he is her future Bo.
He is her future Bo. And he probably spelled B-A-U or B-A-B-E-A-U. Yeah. Anyway.
Yes.
He works on the ranch and he's a little prickly around the edges and he's a little like, no, no, girl, you better get in your gear and let's go. You know, like he's a little bit like tough and rough and blah, blah, blah. And then they fall in love. I can't wait. This looks so bad. I can't wait. What was this on? Was this just made for TV? What is this?
Netflix. I think it's made for Netflix.
Of course.
It's one that made the rounds. So me and my friends, we get together and we watch like the bad like films. My friends notoriously, Tanaka McCullough, they refer to her by a horrible name. And then we've watched all of like the Lacey Chabert ones, the Gretchen Wiener's ones well.
Like, who's that?
Yeah, we've just watched a load of those. There's a real, I don't know, like I think a lot of people are kind of like, what started out as hate watching like a lot of these things, which is kind of what ours are, has evolved into kind of an appreciation for this like cheesy genre because they're so self-aware. Like it's very hot, frosty vibes. Of, like I think they know what it is. They know that they're appealing to some people who do genuinely like these films. And with that, I think that these ones being a bit self-aware like that, there's more of a charm to them. So I don't think it's necessarily going to be quite in the Merv realm of this is bad because it takes itself seriously. I think this is going to be more redeemable because it's like aware that it's not.
I love a show, movie, piece of media that just knows its lane. It is like we are campy, we are silly. It's like The Traitors knows its camp. Like specific sorts of shows where it's like they know what they are and they're totally fine playing into the joke. And that's where this movie just so missed. And I can't wait to see about The Wrong Paris. this is so fun, especially because, oh my God, if I have the opportunity to do like a fake French accent and also a fake Southern accent next podcast, I'm just going to be in heaven because I'm so bad at both of those things. So I just...
It'll be like the audience is playing D&D with you, Jess, because that's what I experience all the time.
I maintain that my Southern accent was very good as Lolly. I maintain
Southern accent was very good. Very infectious.
Are you trying to say that my Russian accent is bad? The fact that you're silent now is honestly really upsetting. By the way,
speaking of good Russian accents,
thank you. I was just going to segue us into a quick little heated rivalry chat because the podcast I just recorded with Sarah recently over on Shit 90 Shows taught me. I told her, I'm like, you have to watch Heated Rivalry. Like, you absolutely have to watch the show. She hasn't watched it yet. I think I convinced her to watch it. I was like, if you want to see the best donks in the entire world, you need to watch that. So it's starting to infect my TikTok now. And I can't stop thinking about the scene. This isn't really a spoiler. So if people haven't seen, I can't stop thinking about the loon scene. It is the funniest thing. It is the funniest thing kind of ever. It's just so funny. Like, Canadian wolf bird is just so stupidly funny. I love Rozanov. Literally anything he says or does. And I know he's not really Russian, but I don't care. I love him so much.
It's incredible. Konstantin's like ability to put on that accent is incredible. For a show that really was pitched early on, because I've been watching since episode 3, I think it was. I just pitched as like spicy, like drama and stuff like that.
It's like gay hockey smart.
Yeah, I was like drawn in by the gay hockey smart, and I was like, I love the Mighty Ducks. Let's make it adult and make it smutty. Fantastic. Then it like just sideswipes you with like a deeply built like story of like a building romance, not exclusively down one lane either, which is really kind of great. I think it's dealing with some really good stuff in a great way, but also hits you with the feels and also gives you some of the biggest belly laughs in what is like a fantastic. Can't recommend it enough. Like,
It's really good. It
was a 2, this is a 10.
It has no right to be as good as it is. You watch it a little bit for like the butts and the like, you know, the smut, but then it does like all of a sudden just punch you right in the feels at certain points. It's really good. It's a very quick binge. We watched it like mostly in one night.
A tight 6 episodes, which is
A lot of
A nod back to talking shit. Sebastian Rain is in it as well.
And he is
wild,
so good looking.
He looks so different.
I didn't recognize him at first, honestly. I didn't recognize him because I was like, that's obviously not him. He looks so different. So good. Like, he's so like, there's not an ugly person on this cast. It's simply not allowed. Everyone's hot. Everyone has abs.
I will say, like, talk about Zooey Deschanel being a shapeshifter with the whole like taking away the bangs, being a completely different person. Beards are just that for guys. Because the moment Sebastian Ring puts on a beard, admittedly, gets absolutely shredded as well. Yeah. It's infinitely more attractive.
He's so good looking. It's like crazy. Honestly offensive. It's honestly offensive. It's like so upsetting.
I can't stop talking about
the butts. The butts and are also insane.
Rogue Sophie Nalisse like appearance as well in a couple of episodes, which then ties it to Yellow Jackets, which is another reason for next year to be really good.
I can't wait. Go watch Yellow Jackets also if you haven't. Anyway, that's going to be it for 2 weeks until we watch The Wrong Paris, which I'm too excited about. I like want to watch it, but I can't because I have to wait because otherwise I won't remember anything. So,
Jess, that's the thing. You watch it like immediately. You get to watch it a second time well.
That's how Buffy always gets me because I watch too early and then I have to watch it a second time. No, it's fine. I'll wait. Maybe we'll see. Anyway, that's everything from us. So until next week, we wish you a Mervy Christmas and a Happy New Year!